For the first time in a long time, and to help us sort through it all, is our good friend, the beat writer for the Indiana football team and basketball team for the Indianapolis Stars, our good friend Zach Osterman. Zach, good morning. How are you?
I'm fantastic, Glass. How are you?
You sound fantastic here on a Monday morning. We appreciate your time as we kick the week off. Everybody's shaking out the cobwebs this morning, but it's a little easier to do when you look down and see the Hoosiers are 4-0. It's the first time since, what, 1990 that's happened? They've won five games in a row. Heck, I can't remember the last time that happened, with their win last year to wrap up the season against the Boilermakers to win the Old Oaken Bucket and start off with four straight here in 2015. Heck, that was the plan from the start, right? You schedule like this, you should be 4-0. It's just that easy.
Well, and you know, I mean, there's been a lot of, I don't want to say criticism, but I think there have been questions raised about some of the tougher opponents that Indiana's put on its non-conference schedule. I think there was a feeling like, hey, this is a non-conference that maybe more than in recent years you can use to set yourself up for a good season. And Indiana, you know, they've said, players have said it wasn't our only goal, but one of our goals was to start 4-0, was to get through this non-conference season perfect and use it as sort of a jumping-off point for a bigger season overall. Obviously, now they're getting ready for Big Ten play.
4-0 to start. You can't. You want to knock it for performance. It's not 60 minutes. I'm not going to. That's not the point. The program is not at that point right now where it needs to be, in my opinion, with a fine-tooth comb. It doesn't need to be combed over like that. The program needs to win football games. It needs to get to bowl games. It needs 15 extra practices in the time when they usually don't get those. That's the next step in program development, correct?
I think so. And especially, I mean, just when you talk, I mean, not to be flippant, but there aren't a ton of great bowl teams. I mean, there's so many bowl games that the field is flooded. There's plenty of teams that are imperfect that make it to the postseason. And I think there's a feeling like, frankly, as I watch Indiana, especially on offense, I'd say that team is not even what I think is, if all parts kind of stay healthy and together, that team is not even the total sum of what I think it will be by the end of this season. So I think it's important, as you mentioned, the extra practices are important. There's also just sort of, you know, I mean, winning can become a habit, and bowl games can become a habit, and I think that's something that if you get that kind of, you drill that down into younger players' minds, suddenly you can kind of leave more of a legacy of it, a la what you see with Pat Fitzgerald at Northwestern, or I'm trying to think of other good examples, what you've seen at Cincinnati in recent years.
Zach Osterman's our guest this morning, at Zach Osterman. He's the beat writer for Indiana football and basketball at the Indianapolis Star, IndyStar.com. Interesting part about the offense, and I agree with you on that. I don't think they are firing on all cylinders. I don't think Nate Sudfeld is anywhere near firing on all cylinders. But here Indiana is 4-0 on the season. How much of that is attributed to now the balance they have in the passing game and the dual attack running game? I think that part of it is come together nicely, but I agree. I don't think this is the finished product yet.
Well, I think the ground attack, what you get from Jordan Howard and Divine Redding is consistency. And, you know, one of the things that Kevin Wilson talked about is how he feels like those two have more explosive run plays in them than you know, they he thinks they're both going to have, I think, especially talking about Jordan Howard, that there's still going to be some big pops from him that we just haven't seen yet, a couple that he's come close to breaking for long touchdowns. But what they give you is just that consistency, that regularity. You know, we've seen Sudfeld build a good relationship and rapport with Ricky Jones. It seems like that is starting to develop on the other side with Simi Cobb, and also starting to really develop with his tight end, you know, his tight end group. But while that's happening, while that's all going on, and while I think Kevin Wilson is really kind of, you know, getting into and figuring out what exactly he wants his playbook to look like, because, I mean, it always changes year to year based on your personnel, your experience. You know, a big wide receiver on one side, a small wide receiver on the other, a senior quarterback, whatever it may be, you've at least kind of got that platform week to week of a very consistent running game. It's not just a rushing attack, and I'm not slamming Tevin Coleman. I've tried to be very clear about that, and I've said this in the preseason and now during the regular season. But it's not a running game like that that's predicated on big plays. It's a running game predicated on eating up yardage and eating up clock and controlling games. And I think that is the best foundation you can have for trying to build an offense. That the analogy I've kept using is that it feels like Indiana's kind of moved into third gear offensively, maybe some up into fourth. They're definitely not in fifth gear yet.
Zach Osterman's our guest. He's the beat writer for the Indy Star at theindystar.com and the Indianapolis Star newspaper. At Zach Osterman on Twitter if you want to follow more of his stuff and some of the stuff we were following over the weekend. You wrote a nice little piece on Darius Latham. Well, Darius found himself in the backfield defensively and offensively over the weekend, and a couple good combinations there as he was very disruptive leading that defense. He's one of the anchors of it. Talk about this defense and where they're at after 4 weeks, as they had a very, very active weekend in Winston-Salem.
Well, I think the big thing, and to sort of play off something Wilson has said, he said he wants, you know, he said he's always had success building aggressive offenses, offenses that want to get after it and go fast and score points and really just sort of, you know, play a little bit hell for leather. And I think that what he really wanted was a defense that would do the same. And in that respect, a defense that was capable of maybe cutting loose some of the mistakes, maybe being okay with making some mistakes, and understanding that, especially in modern college football, for the vast majority of teams, defense is an imperfect science. It's a very offensive game right now, in play calling and scheming, in the way the rules have changed in recent years. So don't get too wrapped up in, you know, how many yards did we give up. Don't get too wrapped up in making a mistake. So much as saying, if I stay aggressive, if I stay really on the attack on the front foot, good things will happen. And I think that for Indiana, I mean, the turnover margin is fantastic.
It's great, and they had another pick six last week, yeah.
One of the things they talked about a lot in the non-conference season was quarterback pressure has gotten better and better and better. It needed to result in sacks. Now, Wake Forest, very young quarterback, young offensive line, you know, six sacks is, I don't know if that's a performance we'll see replicated this season, but I think for that group, it was good reward to see them kind of finally land some of that aggressiveness in the form of statistical production. And it's just basically this idea on defense of being okay with making some mistakes, being okay with not being perfect, and being able to kind of just shove that out of the way and be there to make plays when plays are there to be made, whether it's a sack, a tackle for loss, a forced fumble, an interception, a big third down pass, knockdown, whatever it might be.
Indiana has now 10 consecutive games with at least a takeaway, and Tony Fields pick six, 31-10. Should have been cruising time. Didn't perhaps end the masterful way they would have liked, but the defense, again, had to come up with the play, and it made one late in the game on the road. It's not perfect, but it certainly looks better than it did 4 weeks ago.
Well, and it's, again, that idea that what matters more if you're Indiana. And obviously, look, is this a defense that's going to get you to the college football playoff? No, of course not. I don't think anybody would say that. And I think there is plenty of room for improvement, and I think there's plenty of desire for improvement across Indiana's defensive staff, across, obviously, just its locker room. But what matters more if you're Indiana, and as we talked about, if your number one goal is really just trying to breed the habit of winning, is it, you know, worrying about giving up 350 passing yards a game, or is it having a defense that more often than not, when you do need that critical play at a critical time, is going to step up? Because there's been one. You can argue the Southern Illinois game, you know, was Andre Brown, did he really affect the two-point conversion?
Yes.
But you have the Jameel Cook interception return for a touchdown. You have the two really big Jonathan Crawford interceptions in the third quarter against Western Kentucky that turned that game. And then you have the Tony Fields, and really even more than that, just the ability to put pressure on Kendall Hinton all afternoon in Winston-Salem. And then obviously you get the Tony Fields interception, you get the breakup by Rashard Fant. The idea, I guess, I'm throwing out there is, yards may not look great on paper, yards allowed through the air, yards allowed on the ground, but ultimately for a team like Indiana, again, when you're just trying to turn the corner between looking good and actually being good, what matters is who turns up when the plays need to be made the most. And right now, it's Indiana on both sides of the ball, but in particular, on defense, and in particular, a young secondary, which is important because, look, teams are not going to stop attacking.
No, they're not. You're exactly right, because the film has shown them over the years that's the way to do it, and there are some points of emphasis. Now, Indiana didn't have everybody on its defense to start the year. Tigre Scales missed two games. It looks like he has jumped back into form quickly. Since the band is all back together, it looks more stable. It looks put together. If you can avoid the injury bug, you would expect this defense to grow and get better, wouldn't you?
Well, and you kind of get the feeling that, I don't want to say things are settled, but again, if you're talking about, if you're using the analogy of a transmission, Indiana in fifth year defensively, no. And I think that some of that is guys coming back. I mean, Chase Dutra
right.
It seemed to me anyway like he was getting more snaps last weekend than he was the weekend before. But you also kind of talk about, we saw some weird, when Latham and Ralph Green came back, suddenly we saw both of them on the field at the same time where, you know, sort of in the world of positions, they are listed at the same position, but now all of a sudden one of them is at nose and one of them is at defensive tackle. And so it's kind of just this idea that you also got the feeling that through those first four games, and this is what a non-conflict season is for, you know, coaches were working out rotations, figuring out what worked, figuring out what they liked, figuring out if maybe they could play somebody at a different position, how would they fare? We saw Marcus Oliver move around, you know, make plays from different spots in that linebacker core. If nothing else, I think Indiana has a good handle on, like, the best places to put its players, and then as you talk about, finally getting healthy enough again to where it can say, we've got all the options, you know, at our fingertips. And so we can get whatever we want to do, whatever we want to try, it's on the table for us.
Now, obviously, I didn't do my part in this. I didn't do enough heavy lifting, I guess, because College Game Day will not be in Bloomington coming up Saturday. But the number one ranked Ohio State Buckeyes will. Interestingly enough, the Hoosiers have given Ohio State a little bit of, bother. Is that the word I'm looking for? Last year with Xander Diamant only playing as a handful of college starts, leading the Buckeyes in Columbus last year before a late fourth quarter splurge got them out of the way. The Buckeyes come to town this week. Indiana obviously playing with house money, riding the wave. What should we expect here as the Big Ten season opens 3:30 p.m. on ABC?
Well, I mean, obviously,
besides a lot of red in the crowd.
Yeah. I mean, it's surely going to be one of those days. And I mean, Ohio State is what, I mean, on paper they are what they are. They're the defending national champions. You know, you've got Cardale Jones, you've got Ezekiel Elliott, you've got Joey Bosa, tons of talent on both sides of the ball. It's a game where I think the early line had Ohio State favored by more than two touchdowns. So I mean, it's certainly
17.5. If you're into that.
Whatever hype Indiana may have generated with the non-conference start, the reality is that Ohio State is still a heavy favorite in this game. If you're Indiana, I mean, you're probably hopeful that the whole sort of quarterback quandary somehow rears its head again, although it does seem, I think, and I don't want to act like the biggest Ohio State expert, I'm just kind of drilling down into it myself this week, but it does seem like it's kind of Cardale Jones' ship to sail at this point. And as you said, I mean, even I know that Kevin Wilson is somebody who Urban Meyer has spoken of his respect for as an offensive mind. I think Meyer said something a couple years ago, 3 years ago maybe, that he thought Wilson was one of the top offensive minds in all college football. And I mean, you know, this is the same team that scored 49 points on Ohio State. Was that 3 years ago?
3 years ago, yes.
Like you said, it's the team that gave Ohio State a real headache. And I think, if I'm remembering correctly, gave Ohio State a bit of a headache 2 years ago as well in Columbus. And
it's been an odd schedule. They've played in Columbus the last two seasons because of the unbalanced schedule, just like we've hosted the Bucket those two. And, there's been some issues in there. But Ohio State, again, shows you what you need the program to be to compete at that level, just the level of depth on both sides of the ball at every position. Indiana's not there yet because the record, yeah, it's 4-0. They're not there yet, but this is why getting to bowl games are important. You get that exposure for recruiting. You get deeper at position. You create more competition. That's why I think the 4-0 start is the way to go. And plus, it takes a little pressure off in the Big Ten season.
Well, and it does let you go into a game like this, as you said, playing with house money. And I don't know that Indiana's totally going to feel that way, but going into a game like this and just thinking, there's not a lot to lose, but you know, let's back ourselves. We've got the best offense in the Big Ten. Maybe, just maybe, if you know, if Ohio State takes control and they run with it, they're the number one team in the country, presumptive favorite, national champion, defending national champion, whatever. But if we can avoid some of the offensive sluggishness early, if we can force a couple of first half mistakes, you know, I mean, it's not hard for me to imagine this game being competitive late in the third quarter. The question is then, of course, like, if you think about last year and the way Ohio State just kind of finally turned it up an extra notch that Indiana couldn't match in Columbus, what happens then? But this is, if nothing else, a team that I think believes that it can hang with anybody, that it can score with anybody, that it can make enough plays defensively, and the non-conference season has backed this up so far, to give itself a chance. And I think if you're Indiana, all you really want to say is let's be loose but aggressive. You know,
don't sure beat yourself. Get rid of the penalties.
I'm sure there will be some level of you know, hoping or trying to draw motivation from game day not coming. even after all the sort of foolishness of whether it would or it wouldn't or anything else, you know, I think it would be silly not to sort of point out to Indiana players how they were overlooked nationally.
That's exactly right. You were disrespected. And that's the key phrase, right? Disrespected.
And ultimately, if you're Indiana, I think you do still have to – you want to talk about shrugging off mistakes and things. If you do get beat up this weekend, if it is 45-14 or something like that, 45-21, look, it's you got to be able to shake that off. And to be able to say there's games that matter more to us than others, not that we would take one game more seriously than another, but also to remember, look, you know, you can't go from 0 to 60 all at once. Ohio State's at 60. We're closer to 25 right now.
Two more wins get you a bowl game. That's what Indiana's short-term goal should be. Yeah, it'd be great to contend for the Eastern Division title in the Big Ten, but there's Ohio State, Michigan State, some others. But it's always possible. Why? Because when you play the game, you put 60 minutes on the clock, and you put a bunch of college kids out there. Who knows what can happen, and we hope the Hoosiers can pull one of the great upsets. We've seen Ohio State lose at some Northwestern teams in Evanston where you said, geez, how are they going to do that? It's not a guarantee, and that's what makes it fun. We appreciate your time, as always. We'll get caught up with you after Indiana's 5-0, and we'll get those Rose Bowl plans put together.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Dare to Dream, it's Monday morning. Thanks, man. Appreciate your time. Zach Osterman from the Indy Star, beat writer for football and basketball. We'll have Zach back on in October to get us ready for Hoosier Hysteria coming up on the 24th. We won't forget about that. But again, Indiana football, the forefront. 4-0 Hoosiers, Margaret. Exciting times.
It is very exciting.